Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. When I was growing up in Indiana, my dad served churches in very small towns, surrounded by farmland. And as a result, I had a number of friends who belonged to Future Farmers of America. I remember one time I was spending the night with one of those friends, and I tagged along to one of his meetings. The FFA opened its meetings with a distinctive ritual. The president called the meeting to order and immediately asked, "Future Farmers of America, why are we here?" I wanted to shout out, "I was here because I was staying with a friend who said I had to go to the meeting," but I didn't do that. Jesus wanted to know, and he wanted people to know, why he was here. So he went back to his hometown synagogue, where he read from the prophet Isaiah about the Jewish Jubilee, rolled up the scroll, then sat down and declared, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. This is why I have come." So my friends, let us consider today our reason for being. Why are we here? Why do we worship? Well, first of all, we are here to worship God. I came across a story about a conversation that took place between the two Sunday morning services of a very large congregation. A young boy was standing in the narthex of a local church, looking at a plaque hanging on the wall dedicated to the members who had lost their lives in military service. The pastor walked up to the boy, put his arm around him, and said, "Do you know what that is? That is a memorial to all our members who died in the service." The boy thought for just a moment and then asked, "Which one, the 830 or the 11? I suppose there are those who think that worship can bore you to death, but I beg to differ. Worship is the heartbeat of a congregation. As worship goes, so goes the church. A seminary professor of mine once stated, "I would rather worship God than do anything else I know of in this world." Worship is not about me. It's not about you. Worship is about God. It's about praising God and enjoying God each and every time we worship. Second, we are here to make disciples. In Lewis Carroll's Through the Looking Glass, Alice wanders aimlessly through a strange kingdom until she comes to a fork in the road. She looks left and she looks right, then exclaims, "Which way shall I go?" That's when a Cheshire cat with a broad grin inquires, "Where are you going?" To which Alice replies, "I don't know." "Well," says the cat, "then it doesn't matter. If you don't know where you are going, any road will get you there." Disciples know where they are going. They are following Jesus. They've made a commitment to live for Jesus, who died for them. They may not know the details, but they know their destiny. So I think we should ponder, what is the center of our life? Is it money, work, possessions, pleasure, family, or self? And then we should ask ourselves, why not? Why not put Christ in the center of our life and let everything else fall into place around it? We were made for that purpose. We were made to that end. I read about a pastor who was stuck in Baltimore a few years ago trying to get home from Florida on a Southwest Airlines flight. However, there was a very bad snowstorm. The terminal was packed with people delayed just like he was. Some had been there all night. Tempers were flaring. People were cursing. Cell phones were ringing. As the pastor sat next to the ticket counter, he then noticed a clerk who was unusually calm and courteous to the customers as they went on to rant and rave about their dilemma. The lady was wearing a WWJD bracelet. You know, what would Jesus do? As he got up to board, the pastor went up to her and said, "Thank you. Thank you for practicing what you were wearing. Today you did what Jesus would do. With a big smile, the woman replied, "I try to do what Jesus would do every day, not just today." That's what disciples do. They're not perfect. They're just forgiven. They're not proud, just grounded. Not wandering, but following the one who called them to be disciples. They're just trying to do every day what Jesus would do. Third, we are here to serve the world. I was reminded this past Monday that Martin Luther King Jr. had a dream that one day on the Red Hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners would be able to sit down together at a table of brotherhood. He had a dream that one day his four children would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. With this faith, he believed people could turn the mountain of despair into a mountain of hope and transform the judging discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony. We are better people because Martin Luther King Jr. had a dream. Jesus said, "I've come to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, the recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We too, my friend, should have a dream. We should dream that together as a congregation that our outreach to those less fortunate should make a difference in their lives. Finally, we are here to extend an invitation. I love the reruns that I catch of Seinfeld. Recently, there was an episode in which there was a dialogue between Elaine and her boyfriend. Elaine asks, "Do you believe in God?" Her boyfriend replies, "Yes." "Is that a problem, that I'm not religious?" continues Elaine. "Not for me," replies her boyfriend. "How's that?" she asks. To which Elaine's boyfriend replies, "I'm not the one going to hell." We have a responsibility to introduce lost people to Jesus. In 1990, 14.3 million Americans said they had no religion. By 2001, just 11 years later, that number had grown to 29.4 million. Again, people who claim to have no religion, no faith, no affiliation at all. According to a survey done in 2019, just before COVID, that number had grown to 75.7 million Americans. 75.7 million Americans claim no faith at all. The mission field, my friends, is no longer around the world. It's around our neighborhood. It's in our schools. It's at the supermarket. It's at our office. It's wherever we are. That is our mission field. To invite is to ask, to attract and to beckon, to welcome another. There are no finer words in the English language than those in which we say, "You are invited." As the service came to a close at a country church, the song leader stepped to the platform and said, "Let us sing number 654, till the whole world knows." A little young man, who was already tired, leaned over to his dad and said, "I think we're going to be here for a long time." Whatever it takes, my friends, as long as it takes, my friends, and wherever it takes us, let us be a Christian fellowship focused on making disciples through worshiping, discipling, serving, and inviting, till all the world knows. That is why we are here. Amen.